Welcome in to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Overtime, coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, John Dunn, Max Pennell. What a weekend it was for not just Tennessee.
Quite the weekend indeed, man.
Oh, not just for Tennessee, but for a lot of things. More breaking news this morning. Everything just keeps rolling and rolling, and here we are, and in radio, especially in sports radio during the summer, it's like, okay, we just got to come up with stuff to talk about. We just got to basically create a two-hour monologue of something that's going to garner somebody's interest, and we don't have to do that today. Might hit you with something in the second hour, but Tennessee goes down to Clemson, and you could not have taken care of business any better than what you did. Maybe a couple of hiccups when we played Clemson on Saturday night, but, you know, get through Charlotte on Friday. And then Saturday, you're down 4-2 in the bottom of the ninth, two outs, and Zane Denton, of all people, sends one to the moon. Puts you up 5-4, end up going into extra innings and winning that game. It's like, okay, all right, now we're going to be fresh for tomorrow instead of having to win and then play again. And then you take care of business. Now you're going down to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, which brings us to our next point of, did Tennessee get jobbed by not being able to host the Super Regional, instead sending us down to Hattiesburg, Mississippi to take on Southern Miss? Quite frankly, I don't think we did, to be honest with you. I think it had a lot to play into. Number one, there were two board members that have ties to Southern Miss. That doesn't help. But it also doesn't help that you put yourself in this situation to where you're not very well liked by the NCAA. There was the situation earlier in the year with Maui Ahuna. You had a rule change basically because of you last year with the home run celebration, you know, theatrics that we had with the fur coat and the daddy hat. And there's a lot of coaches that don't like you too. Having said that, you know, I'm not really upset about it. It's like, okay, guess what? Do you want us to wear the black hat? We're going to wear it. And guess what? If we go down to Hattiesburg, we win. We're in Omaha, 920 miles from Knoxville to Omaha. We're going again. At the end of the day, Tennessee is probably going back to Omaha. And a couple of months ago, this wasn't even thought of. Matter of fact, we were worried about being able to make it just to a regional a few months ago. Really, you could even argue a month ago we were worried. And now we sit here today on June the 6th at 6.05 p.m. and you're looking down the barrel at going back to Omaha. Have we got hot at the right time?
Yeah, I knew exactly what you were going to ask, man, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. People called me crazy. I said that this team was in a better position than last year's team because they were getting hot at the right time. They hadn't peaked already in the season. I felt like they still had their best game ahead of them. You know, you saw that Clemson game the other night. I cannot say enough about Chase Burns. You know, just that performance was as gutsy as I've ever seen from a pitcher.
Oh, just throwing straight gas, not even thinking twice about it.
Brother, there were three on, no outs, and Tony Vitello's like, no, he's fine. He's fine. Let him keep throwing it. Heck, let him keep throwing. You got Halverson warming up over there, and three on, no out in a tie game, and what was it, the 11th or 12th inning?
It was like the 12th inning, dude.
and Vitello's like, they're like, Coach V, should we pull Burns right now? He's pitched a whale of a game so far. Nah, he's fine. Leave him in there. The bases are loaded. There ain't nobody out. He's good. He's exactly where he wants to be. Sure enough, he gets the job done. I mean, you can't say enough. Now, this team has something that I don't think last year's team had, and it's because they didn't have to have it. They were just blowing everybody out of the water, so they didn't really have to be resilient. They didn't have to fight through adversity.
No, they could literally just roll out onto the diamond and play great ball. I mean, that's
exactly
just how great that team was. And, you know, this is a team – a lot of people appreciated it at the time, but I think a lot more people appreciate it now, having said that, you know, because we're in this situation that we're in. But, you know, it was one of those things, this community, this city, really the entire state, any Tennessee Vol out there, any Vol for life just latched onto this team a couple of years ago. And you got to give some credit to LSU, because if it wasn't for Paul Maneri, this baseball team might not have the popularity that it has.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
On radio and saying, oh, their fans were nasty up there. It's like, okay, you think that's nasty? Wait till we fill the place. We'll show you nasty. And that's all they've seen ever since. Sold out crowds at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, of all places. 10 years ago, you know, I was in the transition. I was in between graduating high school and going to basic training. Going to a Tennessee game pre-2020, it wasn't even on my radar. It wasn't even thought of. Nobody looked at each other and said, hey, I wonder what the Vols baseball team's doing. They'd look at you like you had three heads. You couldn't have given me free tickets back then. And now, if we were to host a Super Regional, it'd be like when we hosted it the first time, you wouldn't be able to buy a ticket affordably. You'd be refinancing your house just to be able to go, just to get in. Not even to get a good seat, but just to get in. Like, that's how this baseball team has just transcended the sport around Knoxville. You got guys that want to be like Drew Gilbert. You got guys that want to be like Jordan Beck, like Evan Russell. All those guys. Like, that is how incredible this coaching staff, this team has been. Mm-hmm. And that's just going to continue, I think.
Yeah, Tennessee fans are not half passionate about anything, man. You give them a product they can be proud of, and they will go all in wholeheartedly. Now, you know, back to your original point, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I've seen worse hose jobs in terms of Tennessee, you know, anything involving Tennessee, whether it's an NCAA seed for one sport or a ranking
Heisman
in
trophy.
Another. But for the most part, I think that they've got a pretty good situation in front of them here in Hattiesburg. Very, very winnable super region. They just got to play the type of baseball they've been playing. You know, Southern Miss, though, they're no slouch, man. So Tennessee's going to have to bring their A game. I'm looking for the fielding to continue to, you know, play well, the pitching to continue. We just got to have some consistent bats, and I think they'll be just fine, man. They should be making a trip to Omaha. Let's hope.
Hope so. Max, what'd you see this weekend?
I mean, same thing y'all saw. I really think the performance by Christian Moore was outstanding.
Hey, man.
Christian Moore, you know, home run in every game that regional was on fire. I mean, that's the kind of performance you needed. We're talking about last year's team. There's only a couple guys on this year's starting nine that would have cracked last year's lineup, Christian Moore obviously being one of them. So we need, you know, when there's less depth in the lineup, you need guys like Christian Moore or, you know, Maui Ahuna to carry the offense a little bit, and what he did was awesome. The pitching was really good as well. Obviously, Chase Burns basically saved that game for us. And, you know, I think one thing, it might be a little hyperbolic, but that Clemson game, I think, decided who ended up going to Omaha between Tennessee and Clemson. You lose that game, you saw what happened to Clemson next. A 14-inning game, you got to turn around, play at noon, try to win three in a row, and then, you know, a favorable draw for the winner there in Southern Miss. That game, you know, very well might have decided the Vols going to Omaha or not.
Did you just say hyperbolic?
Yes.
But those are big words to use around us. Oh, man, let's go to the phone lines. Looks like we got Willie in Georgia up first. What do you say, Willie?
Yo, all right, Max, I'm going to give you one time on this.
Oh, it's
one.
Larry.
Not Willie. It's Larry in Georgia, brother. I'm going to need you to get it right, my man.
Hey, with all the smoke going around today, though.
Hey, man, it's all good. I give you crap, but it's all good. So, wait a minute. I got to back up. Even though there's new fellas, I still have to start this the right way. Fellas!
Hey!
What's going on, my friend?
Good baseball, good basketball, and something about golf. I don't know if it's good or bad, so we're just going to see what happens with it.
Golf, who cares? Anyway, nobody cares about golf.
The only now, I'm glad you brought that up, Larry. Matter of fact, continue with what you're about to talk, and then I'm going to ask you a question at the very end.
All right. So, first off, Max, welcome aboard, brother. I give you a hard time, but in all seriousness, welcome aboard. Good to have you around. John, I said welcome aboard online. Now I get to say it actually sort of in person, I guess, or whatever you want to call this. But definitely great to hear you fellas. Glad you guys are here. You give a nice, fresh input. So it's always good to hear new voices and new input. So y'all just have to bear with me. Sometimes I will ramble, but I try not to. Man, this baseball team, wow. Well, first of all, hat tip to the girls softball team. They had a spectacular season. No, it didn't finish how any of us wanted, but dang, man.
There's nothing you can do about Oklahoma. There's nothing you can do about that.
And that's the thing is, I mean, they ran into Oklahoma. They ran into a buzzsaw yesterday in Florida State that just, I mean, they just outpitched them, unfortunately. And, you know, it just was a bad timing for the bats to go a little cold. But I don't know if we go on to the final. I don't know that we're beating Oklahoma anyway. That team is just, good Lord, are they good.
They're too good. It should almost be illegal.
Yeah. it's insane, man. But listen, I'm excited about the direction of that program, as well as the majority of our athletic programs, man. Danny, and he's brought in the right coaching staffs, and, you know, they're really getting things moving in the right direction, I feel like, anyway. You know, one possible exception to that, but we won't go there today. We'll give the hardcore a pass for now, and you know, because Lord knows we don't want Bear in the Butt Crack to call us out tomorrow on their show. So, you know,
it's gonna happen anyway.
Anyway, it probably will. But so I digress. Now this baseball team, man, I'm excited. I don't remember if it was Max or John. One of y'all just brought it up. What I was gonna bring up too is, I really think that Clemson game, it's the difference between this year and last year's team is that game right there. That is the difference in a nutshell. They did not have to figure out how to win last year. Like, they just blew people out. So when it came down to the end of the season and that Notre Dame series, they struggled because they didn't know what the heck to do. They hadn't been in that situation before. The fact that they've struggled off and on all season and been able to get through it and get past some of these games that they had no business getting past, man, I'd love to see if somebody had a chance to go back and look at some of the who was Ole Miss last year, like where their records were compared to ours and when they turned around the corner versus us this season, because, man, it's a lot like them. It's a lot like what they did last year. Got hot at just the right time, going, you know, halfway through the SEC turn or SEC regular season. Obviously, we didn't do well in the tournament, but maybe that was a good thing because it gave our arms some rest.
You know, a good comparison for last year's baseball team, and for those of you that know your college basketball history, you're going to know what I'm talking about. But that 1979 Indiana State basketball team, they just steamrolled over everybody. They got in tournament. They kept steamrolling people.
2015 Kentucky, too.
That's another great one. But they never had to figure out a way to win all year. And then it got to crunch time when you're playing for it. It's all on the line, and they couldn't find a way to win.
You know, Ole Miss, I think they started getting, like, really, really, really good last year in the regional, about like this year, the way that Tennessee's looking. And you know, like Max said, like Larry said, that Clemson game was a big, big deciding factor. The only time that I can think of last year that they faced any sort of situation like that was the Wright State game at home, the first game, the walk-off grand slam. I mean, they were facing, you know, right there, you know, adversity a little bit, but that's the only thing I can think of. But this team, man, they've tasted defeat a little bit here and there, and they've tasted adversity a little bit, and they've found a way to get through it. It's extremely important this time of the year, and I really like the draw that they've got, too. I think that's going to play a big factor as well.
Yeah, absolutely, and really for them, I think the two keys, obviously pitching is a huge key, but the two real big factors that they have is keep the gloves in order. Early in the season, where were they struggling? They were struggling making stupid mistakes in fundamentals, whether it was fielding or base running. If you can keep your fundamentals in check and keep your bats rolling at least a little bit when you need them, those two things will carry you a long way, because this pitching staff that we have is still pretty darn good. Not quite as stocked as last year, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of those errors early on in the season actually might have cost them a few series wins. You know, you look at the LSU game, that was marred by The LSU series, was marred by some errors and things like that. So, yeah, they've really, really come a long way in terms of cleaning up errors and things in the field.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, I won't keep you guys. I'm going to fight some of this cesspool traffic down here. I don't have a whole lot else to say, so rather than ramble on, I'll let somebody else like Phil get in there and you know, pick up the pace a little. Sorry, I couldn't help that. y'all know I got to give the man a hard time. I love him to death, though. He's awesome. You guys keep up the great work. Like I said, Max, John, great to hear you guys. Great to have you on board. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the big time. And go big freaking orange. Y'all have a great night.
Appreciate the phone call, buddy. So we're going to go to break. Before we go to that break, I want y'all to ponder something over the break. And it's which group of people, which dynamic does golf fail to reach out to? Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Back here on Overtime Fan Run Radio. You're good, buddy. So the question that was asked before the break was, what keeps golf from reaching out to other demographics? And Max and I talked during the break because, I mean, I felt like everybody here is going to have the same answer. But I want to explain why we have those answers. And, John, I know where you're going with it as well. Probably the same answer that Max and I have. It's an expensive sport.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I feel like golf fails to appeal to the working class individual. So I started golfing, you know, about a year and a half ago. I'm a handicap of about 23, somewhere around in there. Not great at all. Just like I said, just started. But, you know, I noticed I felt kind of out of place, you know, when I first started golfing. You know, you look around, you see what are clearly people who are well off, you know. I'm just a normal working guy, so right. I'm out here on the golf course, and, you know, I do believe that you should dress appropriately while golfing, you know, a collared shirt, what have you, but, you know, some people don't have stuff like that, you know what I mean, and some people still want to golf. You've got, you know, especially here in Appalachia, man, it's one of the most impoverished regions in the entire country, and I don't feel like that should disqualify somebody from being able to go to the golf course, you know what I mean? So I feel like they really fail to appeal to the working class. And to people who aren't just, I don't know, I feel like it's a snobby sport, you know, somewhat. At least I have felt that way. But I'm lucky to know some people and have some great people, you know, around me that have helped me along the way, helped me learn so far and kind of put my mind at ease and all that good stuff. But, I mean, yeah, man, I feel like just the working class and just the regular everyday American they fail to appeal to.
So I'll say this. I think it's one of these deals whereas if you don't belong to a country club or you can't afford a country club, it's like they kind of just push you to the side. It's like, no, you're different. It's like, you know, these guys, they're going to wear your classic FootJoy, your classic Adidas, your classic Nike shoes. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the ones with the almost like the dress shoe toe, as I like to call them. Now you get me going out there, and I'm going to wear a pair of Under Armour, still sort of like that middle ground almost. And then some days I'm going to wear the Jordan 1s.
I'm throwing on the Under Armours.
So, you know, my point is, it's like, Max, John, you and I, like, we all would fall into this category of we're out there to have fun. You know, we're not out there trying to shoot, you know, a 72. We're out there with our friends, having a few beers, having a good time, probably playing best ball because everybody's had so many beers in them up to that point that nobody is going to shoot par. We're not even going to come close, even without the beer. And then you go into the financial aspect of playing golf. It's not as simple as, say, basketball. You go to Dick's Sporting Goods, you go to Walmart, and you pick up a basketball. You spend $20-$30 for an outdoor ball, and then you go out and you play. Obviously, you got to buy shoes at some point as well, but majority of people play in running shoes anyway. But when you start factoring in, okay, I got to buy clubs, okay? You don't want to buy them new because nobody ever does, really. You start looking at used clubs, and it's like, wow, this is still just really, really expensive. It's like, okay, what's this used set of Pings or Titleist or Callaway? What are they going for? It's like, okay, well, these are going for, you know, $400. These are going for $500. It's like, well, at this point, I might as well just buy a new set. So then people call me and ask for a military discount, and I give it to them. But you got your irons. Okay, well, what are you going to do when you tee off? Okay, well, I got to buy a driver. Okay, well, how much is that going to run? Okay, a new one costs $400. Well, I can't do that. Let's see what's on the used market. Okay, you can get this one for $200. Okay, so now you're out $800. Okay, well, what am I going to do about a putter? Well, a brand new putter, a good one's going to cost you anywhere from $200 to $300. Okay, well, I can't afford that. Let's see what's used. Okay, you can get this used one for about $100. So then you do that. It's like, okay, well, what am I going to hit? Well, you got to buy balls. Oh, we forgot about wedges too. That's a completely different story. You can get those for about $20. But okay, what kind of golf ball am I going to hit? Okay, well, get the Pro V ones up here. No, I don't want to buy that. That's $50 for 12 balls, 15 balls. I'm going to shank into the woods. Okay, well, I can buy these Bridgestones for $20. Don't really want to spend that either. Okay, well, let's buy this $10 set of recycled balls from Walmart that I'm probably going to hit into the woods. Then you got to buy a bag. You can't just carry the clubs around. You got to buy a bag. That's going to run you about $100, maybe more, depending on which one you get. So all in, your initial investment is in the ballpark of $1,000. And then you got to go pay to play. Golf ain't free. You don't just show up to a course and start hitting. No, especially around Knoxville for 18, I think the cheapest I've seen is what? Like $30?
Yeah, I mean.
And that's a course that I'll never go to again. Different story for another time, but I'll never go to that course again. So, yeah, your initial investment into the sport without even playing a round is around $1,000. That's why I think it drives people away.
And who wants to invest $1,000 to go out there?
And not even know if you like it.
Not even know if you like it, or, you know, speaking personally, not very good, get frustrated, oh, I'm going to spend $35, $40 on top of the $1,000 I spent to go out there, hit the ball around, feel horrible about myself, keep my friends waiting, etc. And it's just like, if you want to get good at it too, then you got to spend hundreds of dollars on rounds of 18 before you're even, you know, capable.
And you can go to the range, which, by the way, you have to pay for that as well.
It cracks me up that we all have the same mindset, it seems. And earlier, Jake, you were saying, we're not out there trying to hit 72. I'm trying. I'm terrible. I just can't do it.
Buddy, you ain't going to get 72. Hey, no.
Best round I've ever had was 88.
Better than I've ever had.
We did a scramble one time, and we shot a 60.
What?
We did a scramble, and we got a 60.
Wow.
Yeah. May or may not have.
You still got to go.
May or may not have, you know, fudged some numbers here and there, but bottom line, that was the score that we turned in, and somehow somebody shot a 48.
Oh, my God. There's always a ringer, man.
Yeah. Speaking of golf and people that know golf, let's go back to the phones. Polish Joe is next. What do you say, Poli?
How we doing, guys?
Good, buddy.
I'm glad to have you guys back, man. I couldn't handle that dang Oprah 3 hours listening to Bears horror movies critic.
Oh, buddy. Oprah, I thought we were listening to The View.
My God. Yeah, you're probably right.
Oh, my God, Miller.
I mean, I'm trying to get updates on the dang baseball game, and they're going on for 40 minutes about horror movies. I about completely lost my mind.
Well, the reason we were talking about golf is because LIV and PGA have somehow merged. I don't know how that's going to work, but meh.
At least it's sports, you know?
Yeah.
So, I was calling. I got officially flushed yesterday from you-know-who, and they were talking about the gold. This is a golden era in Tennessee sports, and, you know, and they were talking about how great it is. And all I said was, after I was done, I said, wouldn't it be nice to have a basketball coach that could win in the postseason? Flush.
I knew that was coming. And I mean
I think that's a critique, don't you?
I mean, it is. I mean,
that's not a low blow.
I mean, the thing is, you're right. There is no postseason success at Tennessee other than making it to two Sweet 16s. You're 100% correct.
And that's the same thing that Kelly Harper's done, that they attack.
That's the part that I didn't get. It's because people need to realize it's like, you know, it's the same deal with NASCAR. It's like, well, we want another Dale Earnhardt. Guess what? Dale Earnhardt's not coming back. Whether you want to hear it or not, he's not coming back. Pat Summitt, great lady. Great coach. Wonderful human being. There's not another Pat Summitt. Nobody resembling Pat Summitt or has the characteristics of Pat Summitt ever walk through that door.
I mean, one of them yesterday was going after Harper like always. The other one, I couldn't believe it. He was going after Karen Weekly. And I'm thinking, what the heck? How can you possibly do that when you let this guy just, you know, keep getting roses thrown at him?
Rose petals!
Keep throwing them.
I love that.
With the baseball now.
Yeah.
Is it, to my understanding, the reason why Southern Miss got the home game is because they guaranteed more money to the NCAA tournament? Is that true?
That I'm not sure of. I do know that they have two board members that have ties to Southern Miss, which probably played a role in it. And then, of course, you take into account what happened earlier in the year with Tony and Maui. And then you factor in what happened last year and them having to ban home run theatrics, essentially. Home run celebration props is the proper term, I think. But
guys, we could probably already have the next 10 years of regional home games, super regionals, if we would have just given a couple of Rich Bruins bonus to the NCAA instead of giving them to him.
What do you get a bonus for today, Polly?
We could have a super regional for a decade.
What did he get for a bonus today and how much?
I think it was only cloudy and hazy for 40 minutes this morning, so I'm sure he got another quarter mil. As long as the sun comes out before noon, I'm sure he's getting another one.
What if the sun doesn't come up before noon? He only get 25,000?
Well, then, you know, if it rains the rest of the day, I'm sure he gets another one. But, you know, who knows?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, guys, that was one last thing. That baseball game against Clemson, Jake.
Yep.
That was the most gut-wrenching baseball game I've watched since the 2016 Game 7 against the Indians, man.
Man, that one was a humdinger.
Oh, man, what a game.
I loved it.
What a game. All right, guys, glad to have you back.
Appreciate the phone call, Polly.
Yeah, Polly.
Always a good call from Polly. Always a shot at Rick Barnes. I love to figure out, you know, what his bonus is for the day and why he got it.
Did you just say humdinger?
Yes.
Wow, dude. The 1960 call. The 1960s call. They want their euphemisms back, Miller.
Oh, that's still a common term in NASCAR.
Well, golly, that's just swell.
That's a humdinger.
Well, that's just choice. You know, I can't, how many of those are there?
A lot. There's a lot.
Well, that's just the cat's pajamas, you know?
I mean, I could use euphemisms for the modern era. That's fresh. That's drippy.
I don't know any of these. Max is going to have to be like a bridge, a translator, a thesaurus of modern terms for me because I am so old.
Well, I mean, I feel like some of these, like Max is starting to filter out of those euphemisms as well.
The new age?
Yeah, so I've heard drippy. Back in my day, it was, and John's day, it was, oh, he got the fresh.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the broadcaster in me that I just can't, like, that's probably why I use hyperbolic instead of drippy or whatever.
Thank you for using that word also. I use hyperbolic all the time because I'm big on hyperbole, so.
It's a good word.
It is a good
word. Underused. Very underused.
Extremely.
Let's go back to the phones. Phil is next. What do you say, Philly?
My life. Jake Snack.
Philly.
How you and the boys doing?
Pretty good. The view's over, so now you get the real show on now.
Well, I mean, I heard they ripped you yesterday on there.
I don't know why. What did I do yesterday?
I mean, all you did is dig a hole, right?
That's all I did. Dug a hole.
I'll say one thing. They flushed me yesterday for just saying I want championships, and I don't know what they want. I guess they want the bridesmaids. Like I said, Tennessee historically is a bridesmaid program, and it's the truth.
It is.
And no, Philly, we may disagree on Barnes, buddy, but I'll never flush you.
But I mean, I don't drink Tony Vitale's bathwater. You know what I mean?
That you don't. You don't drink anybody's bathwater until they prove something to you.
Yeah. Now, Heupel's good. He's starting good here. I mean, Clay's done 2 years. I mean, he inherited a real mess, and I'm really surprised he's done as good as he has so far.
That's what he's been able to do in 2 years is a borderline miracle. And that's why if I do say something critical about Heupel, then it's very, very, very warranted.
I think the Jeremy Banks thing may have some legitimacy to it, but outside of that, I don't, you know, he's had pretty good discipline over there.
Yeah, I mean, that was just such just stupidity. And everyone's like, well, if you weren't supposed to walk on, why would they put it on the floor? It's like, everybody does that. Like, we had a seal when I was at basic training. It had our unit crest in the middle of the floor. You didn't walk over the unit crest. That was just a thing. You just didn't do it. And if you did, you did your 10 push-ups. 10 push-ups cost us a national championship.
Well, at least a shot to have it anyway.
Yeah. I don't think anybody.
Our defense, certainly our defense imploded and did in that game.
Yeah, and, I mean, I don't think anybody was beating Georgia. I mean, we'll call this like it is. We were probably going to get to the college football playoff. We were not going to beat Georgia. Nobody was beating Georgia this year.
Let's get back to this UT baseball.
Yep.
I really think that Tennessee – I agree with what y'all say. I think Tennessee got hosed because of the annex of last year. And not only that, I think that they wanted to do everything they can to keep at least the amount of SEC teams in that World Series, because there's going to be a predominant SEC play teams, looks like.
I mean, who all do we have left? We got us. We got Florida, LSU.
Florida, Kentucky.
South Carolina.
South Carolina, yeah. And who was the other one? Who was the sixth one?
Us.
Alabama.
Oh, my goodness.
Alabama, yep.
And they make sure that LSU and Florida would probably beat the SEC teams that were playing them.
Yeah.
They want the good old boy network, kind of like they want, you know, in basketball. They like to have the royalty in there. But
yeah, they didn't like the Final Four too much this year.
I mean, we're not royalty yet, but, I mean, you keep knocking on the door, sooner or later you're going to knock it down.
Yeah, whether you get there the right way or not, you become royalty, you're just there. Look at Alabama and Georgia. We know they didn't do it clean. We know for a fact that they did not do it clean in football. But yet they're there, and they're going to do whatever it takes to keep them there.
Well, tell me somebody that hadn't cheated before. They're always going to cheat. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, I'd say it's gone on over here on the hill, too.
No comment, but I don't disagree with you.
You're going to win.
It's everywhere.
I mean, that's the thing. If you want to win, you have to do what it takes to win. I mean, show me a program that wins, I'll show you a program that cheats.
Well, NIL makes it legal to cheat now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, all this has been happening behind closed doors for decades. It's just now coming to light. I mean, for the love of God, Texas A&M back in the 70s. Think back, the 70s. Texas A&M was giving guys $50,000 cash just to commit.
Wonder what SMU is going back in.
Well, you had Sherwood Blunt, big real estate guy, running the deal down there. So the whole Eric Dickerson class, those guys, I know Eric Dickerson, Texas A&M paid for that gold Trans Am that he had. They made the down payment on it, and then I'm pretty sure that SMU, like one of the boosters, took over the payments once he got to SMU, and then I think the coaches were helping him like put gas in it and stuff like that. But that's how that deal happened.
Did you know that Texas gives NIL to all their basketball and football players? I think it's $50,000 per player. And then, heck, even SMU, they get $40,000. I mean, that old money's flowing out that way. It'd be too bad they can't win with it. I mean,
a lot of money in Texas.
The weird thing about that is, like, Texas A&M is not winning. I don't think they're going to win with this class they got. I mean, how many of them have already transferred out? They signed, what, 30 in that class? Some of them are walk-ons that are getting their tuition paid for. But a lot of those guys have already left. They're not going to be good.
They lost about 20, didn't
they? What's that?
They lost about 20 players, didn't they?
Yeah, because checks were quote-unquote bouncing. And I don't think it was necessarily the money part of it that was bouncing. I think it was broken promises. It's like, well, you're going to get to play. You're going to play. You're going to get this many snaps per game. And it's just not happening. Because right now they got a dumpster fire down there. At the head is Jimbo Fisher. And we all know how I feel about him. Yeah, he won a championship, but he also put Florida State in a jam. Jimbo Fisher is the reason Texas A&M is in the shape that it's in. It's nobody else's fault but his.
Yeah. I'll get off here, but y'all need to check your. I can't hear Jake talking on the while I'm talking to him. It's if I didn't have a radio on, I couldn't even understand what Jake was saying. But hearing Jake with two or three words is better than 3 o'clock. See you.
Well,
wow!
You either get the view or you get the equivalent of Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, and who else can we throw into the mix?
Rush Limbaugh.
Well, boom. Hold on. You slow down just a second. Which one am I?
I mean, for as dapper as I am, I mean, I got to be Tucker. You're a little bit older, so you can be Sean Hannity.
I figured you were going to make me Hannity. I'm fine with it.
Great dude. Great dude. Those are great, great TV personalities. Well, one of them was. Stay with us. Overtime continues. Final segment, hour number one, coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number one. Overtime, it's Fan Run Radio. It's Jake Miller, John Dunn, Max Pennell, and you, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, online. FanRunRadio.com, the Lenderman Sports Medicine web stream. Check them out at LendermanSportsMedicine.com and on your free Fan Run Radio app. Free to download. iTunes, whatever the Android store is, that thing. Yeah. Check us out. But we talked a little bit about golf there in the last segment, and how it can be expensive just to even start playing the sport. One of my buddies just sent me a text like, dude, you can rent clubs. This is a guy who said he would rent clubs. Do you think he ever rented clubs once in his life?
I'm going to say no.
Guess whose clubs he used?
Probably yours.
Yes.
Renting clubs is not cheap, and if you're not a great golfer and you do something to those clubs, then you got to pay fees for the damages, etc. Now, for my first set of clubs, I bought a little set of $200 top flights off of I covered a high school golfer up in Corbin, and you know, I'm a lefty golfer, so it's harder to find clubs left-handed. I have left and right-hand clubs. I'm
weird. Good luck finding a set of used clubs, buddy.
It was tough. So I covered a few golfers in high school up around this region. So there was one that was graduating. He got himself a new set of clubs to go on to golf and college with. So he was a lefty. So I went up and bought his top flights for $200. You know, so I've got a mix of right and left. But my driver, my lefty driver, is dented completely on the bottom where I top balls so bad from when I first started. So it's very easy to damage clubs, especially drivers.
You know what we should do? We should go to Goodwill and thrift stores and try to craft a set of golf clubs.
Tried it.
Try to find the best set that we can find.
So I've been going around looking for just as many left-hand clubs as I can find. Dude, I would be more likely to find gold in the Cumberland River than I would to find a good set of left-hand clubs at a thrift store.
So let's see here. Where was I? I was actually at a Goodwill down in Loudoun County. And I was like, you know what? Let's just go and see if they've got any good wedges, because I had a 60 and I had a 54. I really wanted a 56. Why? I don't know. I thought I was better at golf than what I was. But I found a Cleveland, one of the best wedges in the game, for 50 cents.
Jesus Christ, dude.
And I still use that wedge.
One man's trash is one man's treasure.
Mm-hmm. 50 cents.
That's I have to do that, though. Or I have to go around and look for some. Because I need some wedges, Miller, so you're going to have to help me out.
Buddy, I'm the king of finding stuff on a deal.
Well, let's get to finding, because, listen, anything that can help me out, dude. I went last week, and I'm pretty sure I shot like a 106. I got mad. I'm thinking about not even going back. So, I mean, I need some wedges. I'm going to need some help. But we got to go soon, like real soon.
Absolutely. We need to get Max involved in this as well.
Well, that sounds fun. You're a golfer, Max? Like you said, you golf a little bit, right?
I haven't picked up a golf club in probably 3 years. I developed a
It's all good. We'll go over to the par three, and we'll just see what we got.
I developed a bad case of the yips with my wrist, and I really only played with my dad, and he would just get infuriated that I couldn't fix it, even though it's so easy, and that would just make for not fun. But speaking of par three, I have a hole-in-one in my career on a par three course on the wrong hole. I drove it too far into the hole on the following green, and I was looking around for my ball for like 10 minutes. My dad was like, well, why don't you just go up there and look if it's in the hole, and lo and behold, it was.
So you have a hole-in-one.
On the wrong hole, yes.
On the wrong hole.
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know if maybe it's like a half hole-in-one. I don't know. It's also par three course, so.
Or a one-and-a-half hole-in-one, right? I don't know.
It's probably harder, honestly, because you're never aiming for that.
I mean, I just want to know how you put it in the wrong hole.
It was probably like, I mean, it's par three. It's probably like 120.
Pause, Jake. Well,
Miller.
There is that. Max made a hole in one on a hole that was on
the wrong hole.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, there's everybody's blunder that they can cut out and put on Twitter and TikTok and everything else that you want to put it on today.
Already ahead of you.
Thanks, buddy.
You know I got you.
Oh, man. Let's jump into the NBA Finals. The Heat strike again with their undrafted free agents. You had multiple players scoring 20 points, taking down the Denver Nuggets in a game in which Jokic had 41 points. And if I were to tell you, like you didn't know the score, you didn't watch the game, if I were to tell you that Nikola Jokic scored 41 points, what would you say? Who would you say wins?
The Nuggets.
Nuggets. Especially combined with Jimmy's point total.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy didn't reach his point total again. That's been my play all postseason, at least for the finals. Take Jokic 25-plus and Jimmy on the under. And both games, it's hit. And right now, if you're Denver, are you worried going to Miami? That's a tough place to play. And the Heat culture is a real thing. Those fans, the players, the staff, they just know what it means to win a championship. They know how to get there. It doesn't matter what level of the organization you're at, they know how to get to the NBA Finals. Something they've done multiple times. And for a team that's only been around since the early 90s, late 80s, they probably had the most success out of those teams that started filtering in during that era, because you had them, the Timberwolves, the Hornets, which are now the Pelicans. You had the Bobcats, which are now the Hornets. Who else do we have? The Magic. And I feel like I'm missing one team, Toronto and Memphis also filtered in during that time.
Yeah, they have the most success. Miami, like you said, has probably had the most success, yeah, by far.
Because right now they've got three NBA championships. Two with LeBron and D-Wade and Chris, and then one with D-Wade, Shaq, and Alonzo Mourning. So, yeah, they're definitely
think about the guys they've had play there, man. It is insane to think about.
Well, the thing is, it's like when you start thinking about expansion teams, you think of, you know, the Texans in the NFL. It took forever to get that thing rolling. And then when you think about the NBA, I mean, the obvious answers are the Timberwolves and the Grizzlies starting out in Vancouver. And Vancouver fans not understanding the concept of basketball. I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but, you know, back in the day when the Grizzlies first became a thing in Vancouver, their fans would get loud on offense and quiet while the team was on defense. The exact opposite of what you're supposed to do.
I have no recollection of the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Cool uniforms. Very cool uniforms. Yeah.
But never in my lifetime were they a thing.
Yeah, I mean, there was just wasn't a lot of interest from the city. It's like, okay, well, let's move the team. Okay, let's move them to Memphis. Okay, cool. Then you have the Charlotte Hornets, who then became the New Orleans Hornets, who then became the New Orleans, Oklahoma City Hornets.
Charlotte Bobcats, and then they became
the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the That's original Hornets are still tied into the New Orleans Pelicans. The Charlotte Bobcats are the Charlotte Hornets, are what Michael Jordan has essentially ran into the ground. For being such a great basketball player, he's not a great owner.
No.
Governor, excuse me. Sorry. Whatever. But, you know, that's what happens when you hire your family and you try to run a team based off of everything around your family. They're just there collecting checks. They might do something with LaMelo if they get him some help. But other than that, I mean, Charlotte's going to be Charlotte. And right now, you know, we're still wondering what's really going to happen with Ja Morant. I've had one really good source tell me it's, quote, bad, bad. But you look at Miami, and it's like, these guys just get it. Like, they're playing with, what, 7 undrafted free agents right now? And a lot of those guys are contributing valuable minutes.
This Spoelstra, man, like, I swear, he is a I've never really given him the time of day when it comes to thinking about great NBA coaches. But that dude, man, he knows what he's doing. And, you know, you had me thinking something here just a few minutes ago when we were talking about some of the all-time greats that have played for Miami. Mm-hmm. Just in the past, you know, 20 years, the number one name that comes to mind for me when I think of the Heat isn't any of those guys. It's Udonis Haslem every single time.
He's been there forever. He has never left Miami.
The fossil.
55 years.
Yes, exactly. He is an artifact, but he's still there.
It's crazy to think about, man.
I have a question for y'all about the Heat.
Yeah.
Do you bring Tyler Hero back at all if he's ready?
You've got such a good groove right now. I mean, that's kind of the same conversation we had about Cedric Tillman during football season. It's like, well, everything's going so good right now. Do you want to bring him back?
Don't fix what ain't broke. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I remember, John, you and I off air, I think we had a conversation about this, an extensive conversation. About the pros and cons of bringing him back versus telling him, hey, you need to prepare for the NFL draft.
Yeah, yeah, and we both agreed, man. It was one of those if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of things, and it was only a question of player safety at that point. You know, I mean, if the job can get done without you, you've done your work already. Ain't no sense in working overtime. You know what I mean?
Well, and one of the big things that we talked about before he got hurt was it just seems like we're force-feeding him so much. It's like, throwing him passes that should not be thrown to him just because he is Cedric Tillman.
Just for the sake of getting him some stats and some numbers, exactly.
And then what happened after he returned?
And Hero would be the same way. I mean, those shots that Duncan Robinson are taking.
He's going to get you 20 a game.
Gabe Vincent, those shots are going to Tyler Hero for better or for worse.
And Max Strus.
Yeah, exactly.
Dr. Strus.
If I'm Miami, if they go down, you know, 3-1, 3-2, I don't hate, you know, you need a scoring spark off the bench, get him activated. You're down 10 the fourth quarter. You know he can knock down some shots. But, I mean, I agree with y'all. You don't mess up what's – if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Exactly.
Situationally, I wouldn't see a problem with using him situationally, like you said. And if offense seems to be the issue, then by all means, do what you got to do. But right now, I mean, I take chemistry over – potential scoring at this juncture of the season for sure. I mean, you're in the finals now. There's really nothing else beyond this. So, I mean, chemistry is extremely important, especially when you're on the road. But, you know, they're going back to Miami. So, if there is a time for them to break Hero out, it would be at home for sure.
You are correct. Stay with us. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two of overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.